Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. JJ in Boston.
Hey, good morning, guys. How
good
are
morning
you?
To good morning you.
After.
You.
Hey, how are you? So it's not necessarily a choking story, but when I was younger, when I was about 9 years old, I played baseball. What do we do when we play baseball when we're younger? We chew the seeds. I swallowed the entire seed and got a piece stuck in my throat.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Well, $1,500 later.
They just make a face as what?
They had to go.
Like, okay.
They had to go into my throat and grab the little seed that was sticking in my esophagus.
But you weren't choking at any point, were you?
I wasn't choking, but the funny thing was, the night before, we were trying everything. Trying to do, like, gummy worms to try to, like, dislodge it, which I actually think enlarged it a little more.
Mashed potatoes.
Bread.
Syrup.
Yeah, exactly.
Rocks.
Whatever we can think
plunger.
Of, you know what I mean?
Vacuum.
Yeah.
Mom's
yeah,
fist.
Really. That was the next bet.
Wow.
Wow. All right. Well, everyone on gets in the running. You're in the running for the tickets.
Yeah, good job, man.
And you're the only one in the running right now.
Right, look at you.
Chris in Southington.
Morning, guys. How are you
morning.
Doing?
Morning. Good, thank you.
So you guys remember the cardboard bricks that you could, like, interlock together and, like, make, like, a little fort when you were kids and parents would buy them and put them in your basement?
I've seen them, and I was too old to have them.
You're never too old.
Well, my son and his little brother, we having like a Nerf gun fight. We got like the brick set up as like a fort. And as I popped my head out from behind the bricks to yell out like a war cry, my son had let a shot go with a Nerf dart and it went right into my mouth and into my throat.
See, that should be extra points right there. That's some good shooting.
He shut me up instantly. Like his we had to get like salad tongs or like get it out of my throat.
With like a salad tongs.
That's at least 100 points.
Your son has not got his throat.
That was the end of the war right there. That was it. I couldn't stop choking. Like I
well,
kept coughing the rest of the day.
Yeah, the mother of all Nerfs.
That was the best shot I've ever seen in my life.
That is the mother of all Nerf shots.
Yep, that's awesome.
Little punk ass.
Hey, he got you.
He won.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
We haven't played since.
Just close your mouth.
Right. It was a battle cry.
Must have been some battle cry.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't a cry very long. It was,
He's probably doing the Mel Gibson.
All I heard was Lee Ermey in my head, and I started to show out my war face, and then I just, it went black.
You just see Junior take careful aim. And you just get the launch.
All right, you're in the running. Great story, Chris. Thank you.
Awesome, man.
Thanks, guys.
What will it taste like?
Oh, my God.
It tastes like kid fingers.
You want to laugh, but you got an arrow stuck in your...
That's some shot, man.
That is a great
shot.
That
is some shot.
How long was his mouth open for? Was it the Tarzan yell?
No, the war face. Like,
Give me your best war face.
That's a great
shut
shot.
Shut him right up.
Oh, my God.
It was,
I would pay to see that. Wow.
Eric in Hamden.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yo.
I was about 15 years old, and if you remember that Kix cereal, it used to come in like little round flavored balls.
Yeah, like Trix,
they
but
had
Kix.
Berry flavored Kix.
Yeah.
And I decided to have a midnight snack. I'm sitting out there watching TV by myself. Put a mouthful in, and the next thing I know, I can't breathe. There's nobody around.
That's scary.
I end up running myself into a corner of a table to get it out. That was just unbelievable.
You almost kicked.
Yeah.
He kicked on chicks. That would be the headline.
Kicked. New York Post. Kicked.
Kicked. Yeah, they have the best headlines.
Yes, they do.
Well.
So, cornflakes after that?
Yeah, I was going to ask, did you run yourself into the table on purpose, or you're just running out of being afraid?
Yeah, I was running out of ideas of how to get it out, and I figured there's always a little bit of air left down in the bottom there, so.
Really?
And it worked.
Yeah, I wonder how people figured that out. I wonder if it was someone who, like, choked, couldn't do the Heimlich on themselves, and then passed out, fell on a chair.
Yep.
Hey.
Oh, right. That worked.
I would think maybe step on the stomach with your foot.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to bend your foot that way.
Right. Yeah. I was just pour some milk, soften it up a little bit.
Right.
The thoughts.
I had a whole bowl full there. It took too big of a bite.
All right. Glad you made it.
Yep.
And you're in the running for the
<too.
laughs> Hager tickets. Chris in Milford.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Yep.
So I was a little kid and I was home and I was eating one of those like hard cinnamon candies and I started choking on it. I got lodged in my throat. So my mother, I ran up to her and she knew I was choking. So she actually took like really warm, like almost hot water from like the tap and poured it down my throat and it actually melted the candy and
melted
stopped
down.
Me from choking.
See, that's very smart.
Oh.
Yeah, you burn your throat, but you're going to live. So,
wow.
So yeah, smart.
Yeah, I always remember that story. Yeah, it was the one and only time I've ever choked in my life.
She was going to do it anyway, no matter what.
Wow.
I got to remember that.
Yeah. It's just,
you know what I find hilarious? Right? You know what I find hilarious is the fact that we're asking folks to call in choking stories to come to a barbecue.
Yeah. Try not to do it at our event, please. Wow.
Wow.
All right. Thank you, Chris. You're in the running. I didn't ask Andrew. You're grabbing all these phone numbers, right? Excellent.
Big thumbs up. Look at him.
John in Enfield.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning to you.
So I have two choking stories.
Give us the best one.
Yeah, your best choke.
The best one.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go with the best one here. So it's about 3 years ago. I was working at Cisco. And my night guy came in. He was a pallet sorter. He came in with extra, I don't know, a steak sandwich.
Nice.
And
what do you mean you don't know?
Right. Steak is a steak sandwich,
yeah,
man.
It was a
sounds
steak
like you just
sandwich.
Made that up.
It was a steak sandwich from 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anyway,
steak sandwich.
He's like, John, you hungry? I said, I'm always
7-Eleven
hungry.
Has steak
every guy's
sandwiches.
Hungry, yeah.
All right.
And I think so. It was like a little, it was from Cumberland Farms. I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry. Okay. So he said, you hungry? I said, I'm always hungry. He said, all right, well, you can have this extra sandwich. I said, all right, thanks.
So, let's get to the choking part, or I'm going to choke you right now.
All right, I get like three bites in. All of a sudden, I'm choking. He's sitting there eating. Another one of the guys who worked for me sitting there right across from me. I come up. I said, can't breathe, can't breathe. They just stare at me like deer in the headlights.
But they could hear you.
Can't breathe, guys. I can't breathe.
I think that that's a good sign if you can say something.
Right. I'm like, would you fart?
I think. I was losing air. I was able to just squeeze that out.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And then I lost air completely. And now my hands are out. I'm saying, help. I'm like waving towards me, help. But no one's coming. They're just still sitting there staring at me.
Yeah, because they're thinking I'm going to have the rest of your sandwich.
I was at my desk.
They claimed it. I got the sandwich.
Dibs.
I was at my desk, and the only thing I could do, because I was starting to lose consciousness here, because it was about probably a good minute and a half, and I'm begging for help, waving my arms. They're still sitting here.
A
they're
minute
just staring
and a half?
At me.
That seems like
they're
a long
looking at each other. They're staring at each other. They're not doing nothing. They're not moving. And I just fell right on my desk. Out came the piece of steak that I choked on, hit the guy right in the face that gave it to me, and I passed out.
And he caught it in his mouth.
Right on the desk.
You should always pay it forward, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Well, I'm glad
I
you lived.
Up, and they're gone.
They're gone.
Was the sandwich still
there? They just left
in the room
you there.
They,
like,
they,
okay,
they,
back to
they
work.
Said that they went to get help.
Break time is over. Got to get back to work.
It's a little bit about what they thought of you.
Right.
You were choking. They didn't help you. Right. And then you were passed out and they left the room.
All right. Leave the body. Take the sandwich.
Yep. They said they went to go get help.
Did they ever come back?
Where was the help when I was actually choking?
Yeah, right. Help was dessert, actually.
Story sent to us by Lisa Wexler.
No? Judge Wexler.
Judge Wexler.
And also tribe member Vanessa. Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you, thank you.
Lisa Wexler on the air right now. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Morning.
What do you think about this one?
I mean, you know, it was biblical. I saw the story. I said, this is right up Chaz's alley. This guy is found dead of a heart attack, and then they find a pit next to him, and they find a woman's body wrapped in trash bags. This is the woman that he has lived with at his residence in his home in a town of only 300 people in rural South Carolina. And then they look inside the trash bag and they realize she was strangulated to death. And so the police have come up with the conclusion that he killed her. He wrapped her in a trash bag. He dug her pit to bury her. And he dropped dead of a heart attack while digging the pit. I mean, it's like God smote him. God smote him from the heavens and said, we're not going to wait for a judge or jury here. We are punishing you right now.
Yeah, this is the sentence that Lisa wants to get some time.
Yes, you have been smoten.
Smote. That's the word that came to me.
Right.
God said, hey, I got to talk to you real quick. Come here.
Right. Yeah. Why don't you come and see me.
Right.
Come to my office.
Yeah, step inside.
Right.
Pronto, stat.
I'd love, you know, I wish there was a backyard camera on that one.
It's incredible. You know, I was thinking about this, Chaz, and I was thinking, you know, so much in life we see or we experience and we say, well, you know, we don't see the karma now. Like, that person did something bad, and, gee, they seem to have such a good life. Like, what's that about?
Yeah, tell me about it.
Right? But, but in our lives, we know you never want to trade places with anyone, really. You never want to walk in anyone's shoes. If you ever make that mistake, it's a huge mistake because you never know what anyone else is really experiencing. But very rarely in life do you see something like this where, wow.
These stories live forever.
Yeah.
There's a myth, urban myth. I don't know if it's real.
What's that?
But when the Mayanus River Bridge collapsed, there's the story that someone pulled over, saw the bridge collapse, got out of their car, and was waving to someone to stop.
Stop.
And this guy in a BMW drives by and gives the person a finger and drives right off the bridge. Now, I don't know if that's true.
I've heard that from many people.
Me
exactly
too.
Exactly that way.
I think the BMW makes it better because it's like snobby.
Yes, right.
And now I like people who drive BMWs. But like when you hear that, it's like it's better than hearing that they were in a like Chevy Vega.
Right. Well, first of all, I wouldn't have made it on the cliff. Would have died before it got there.
Yeah, Prius.
Right. But it sounds like it could be true, right? It sounds like it could so be true.
I hope so.
But that's instant karma. Middle finger, and then you're flying off the bridge like, oh, that guy was trying to help me.
Yeah, right.
Damn it.
Right. Oops.
Yeah, matter of fact, if legend says at night you can hear, my bad.
Have you been watching this Johnny Depp, Amber Heard thing?
Yeah, on and off I have, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was very interested when Johnny Depp was on the stand and when he was presenting his case, and then, you know, the Amber Heard part got, you know,
boring.
If part of it is true, it's tough to listen to. But what do you think of that? What's your take?
I think it's the saddest kind of he said, she said. It's the saddest kind because we'll never really know who or what is to blame. But my honest opinion is he's an admitted drug user. When people are on substances, they have no recollection of the way they behave that way. That's my experience anyway, that they just don't know or they don't take responsibility for. And they can't be given the benefit of the doubt for when they're under the influence of these substances. They're not themselves. They're not in their right mind. And even though he may want to say, that's not really me and I didn't behave that way, we don't know.
Yeah.
And so I would give her the benefit of the doubt, given that he was an admitted drug and substance abuser. There's no question about that in any of the testimony. And I just think it's an awful, stupid thing that he did to bring this up like this again. Because the first time in the UK,
bad enough.
He lost. He lost, but it wasn't here in his home turf. Now he wants everyone to vomit it up again. I don't see how this looks good for him ever.
I thought the same thing until I saw his case being presented. I thought, oh, wow, he's a pretty level-headed guy. He admits to his mistakes. He was a credible witness. What do you think of Amber Heard? You're a judge. Would you be believing her?
Again, do I believe what she's saying is the absolute truth? I don't know, because everyone's truth is shaped by their perception and lens of truth in that moment. And she's an actress.
Thank you.
He's an actor.
Yep.
Let's not forget they're both professional liars.
Yeah, they play roles.
They play roles. That's what they do. So one can imagine that they truly inhabit, that's why they're good actors, both of them, they truly inhabit and begin to believe whatever story they believe.
Well, they're even more
persuasive.
Yeah.
Maybe liar is not the right word. How about professional persuaders?
Okay. And, well, they act like they're other people, so this is a part, and you could get coached for it. And somebody said something.
I don't even think the objective truth of it it matters in the sense of the rest of us. I'm sure she believes every single thing she's saying, and some of it is true. And he believes everything he's saying, and some of it is true. But it was a warped, destructive relationship, and I don't see how he can prove a defamation in something like this. Remember, at the end of it, it's about a defamation. Who's going to really say that she's completely wrong in a Washington Post op-ed in which he doesn't even name his name, although she does allude that it's him? I don't know. I'm not on the jury. I'm not watching every minute of testimony. Mm. I don't know. But I don't see, as a PR matter, how he comes out a winner.
There was some defecation of that.
Well, he wasn't heard before.
Yeah.
No pun intended. You know, it was
heard before.
It was
Ashley, that you're more sympathetic to him now that the case is unraveling? What do you think?
Personally, yes. I think he's the one that wanted the cameras in the courtroom on purpose because of the fact that it was sort of all one-sided. She was the one that brought this to the media in the first place. So I think this one sheds a different light on the issue than the previous case.
This is the longest series she's ever had.
Well,
somebody said, I think they're right. It's like gas met a match.
Yeah.
These two together.
Yep.
It was explosive.
Volatile.
And when you were talking about drugs and you don't remember anything.
Yeah.
You know, I've never had a drug problem, thank God. But there have been times where I drank enough to wake up in the guest room. Mm. And so, like,
how'd I get here?
What happened?
Yeah.
What did I do?
I just started saying, I'm sorry.
Yeah, those days are over, but.
I can just
imagine being Johnny Depp on drugs and just loaded with money.
Yeah. I missed from 1993 to 97. I'm sure something happened.
Lisa, always good to hear your voice. Thank you so much for coming on. Probate judge in Westport and radio host on our sister station, WICC, Radio 60, from 10 a.m. to noon weekdays. Thank you so much for coming on. Did we lose her?
I think so.
She looks like she's still there.
Oh, she went on hold.
Hello.
I don't know how you went on hold.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello, it's me back again. I just heard gas met a match and then the phone dropped.
Oh.
I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's weird.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate it. What do you do when you have hundreds of acres on fire?
Get some water.
Me, I run.
Get some water.
Fire's over there, I'm going the other way.
Yes,
yep. Bye.
Yes.
This guy goes into the fire, and I want to thank him for that. Jim Trusky, South Fire District Fire Chief in Middletown. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Chaz, AJ, and Ashley. How's everybody today?
Hello.
Good.
Very good. Thank you. How you doing?
I'm doing fairly well. A little bit tired, but we're getting over it.
Is the fire out now?
The fire, I would say, I just met with the state fire crews, Rich Schenk, who represents the Western District. We're about 95% contained. We're going to have hand crews. They have about 25 to 30 people assembled that will be creating a more robust fire line today.
Nice.
Wow. It's still going.
Yeah.
It's still friggin' going.
Oh, yeah.
It's going. The conditions, as everybody knows, these are, you couldn't get better conditions for fire growth that we experienced here.
Really? Because I felt like it rained a lot lately.
Right. Well, it did rain, and you're absolutely right, Chaz. It did rain, but the rain wasn't appreciable enough, and as soon as the wind started picking up, it just dried out the forest floor immediately.
Yeah, the damn wind.
Didn't think of that one.
Damn wind. Yep. And we're early on in the season where we don't have a canopy of leaves that'll hold the moisture down on the forest floor.
Oh.
So as soon as the sun comes up, it immediately dries out all the tinder on the ground.
Interesting.
Interesting.
I had no idea.
No.
I learned.
Don't throw your cigarettes out the window, first of all.
Yeah, no.
Fun facts.
Put them on your forehead.
Put them out in your mouth.
Man.
How many acres are scorched? Do we know that yet?
Well, originally we thought we were up to 250 acres. And what we were able to use some assets from the Middletown Police Department. They have a drone. Also the Connecticut State Police. So we were able to get some really good accurate mapping, and we're just under 200 acres total.
Ugh, that's so many, though.
That's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, which for the state of Connecticut, that's a sizable amount of acreage. And when you look at the Middletown, most people look at Middletown as a city.
Yes.
So we have a tremendous amount of rural area here, especially in our fire district, in South Fire District.
I didn't realize that.
I had no idea.
I just think of houses and city and
the bridge.
Wow.
We're on the south side of Middletown. So if you go south of the Aragone Bridge, south of Middlesex Hospital, we're down by Pratt & Whitney. So we abut Higginham and Haddam, and there's a tremendous amount of open land. And we do have wildland interface where we have homes that are built into the forest.
You were on site, right, for the fire, Jim?
Yes, I was. I've been on site since the inception. Immediately when the fire came in, we had a report of a tree down on a wire. We sent our engine 32 on scene. My captain, Captain Fisher, immediately said, "Chief, I'm going to go down there just in case it turns into something." Well, talk about karma, fellas. It did turn into something,
wow.
And thankfully he was there really quickly. We were able to establish an incident command system immediately and just started calling in assets from around our neighboring communities.
At what point did you say, holy crap?
I would say within an hour into the incident. Initially, I stayed at the station. I said, my captain knows what he's doing. Everything's under control, and yeah, he knew what he was doing. But when I looked out my office window and saw a huge plume of smoke, I said, "Perhaps he could use a hand."
Right, this is not good.
Yeah, the big deal.
I'm gonna go find
that. How many people did you have on scene?
We had over 100 firefighters. Wow. Over 100 firefighters that were from our immediate area and from across the state.
Any houses or structures burnt, and any injuries?
Yep.
We heard about an ankle.
We did. Yeah, unfortunately, one of our firefighters from South District suffered an ankle injury. He's home recuperating. He's going to recover. We did, from the initial, the fire came in about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and we pull our crews out in the evening. The conditions are just too dangerous to put foot crews in at night.
Wow.
But we did have a fire line going around, and we were holding it in check. The DEP forestry called my house at about 11 o'clock at night and said we had another fire starting to the south of it, and it's encroaching in on a home. So we immediately sent the resources, and sure enough, we had a fire that was taking off just as robust as the first fire and was heading towards a structure. Our crews immediately put lines in place. They protected that structure. The wind shifted, and then the fire started going towards an electrical substation.
Holy crap.
Damn.
Horrible.
Yeah,
holy crap.
I'm kind of busy.
Well, from bad to worse, right?
Yes.
So was it that line that started both fires?
We're unsure. The initial fire did start from that tree falling on the power line. The second fire is under investigation because it just doesn't quite line up yet. So we're looking into that a little bit more closely.
Interesting.
Wow.
Speaking of power lines, we did have a very unusual thing happen here. This fire is transected by a transmission line that goes from the substation down towards Pratt & Whitney. And our crews were kind of set up in a general area. And when the fire started to grow in intensity, obviously creates a great volume of smoke. And the fire was wind-fed, and the smoke was tremendous. And the smoke started obscuring the transmission lines. And the transmission lines carry about 340,000 volts. And there was enough smoke that there was a continuity of carbons in the smoke that created a direct line from the transmission line to ground. And we had explosions and basically lightning happening around us.
Wow. Holy crap.
You didn't have enough going on.
What else can they throw at you?
Well, don't ask. There was no
tsunami.
A tsunami would have been good. Put the water, put the fire out.
At that time, I'm thinking to myself, what have I done in my life to deserve this?
Right. Let me think back.
Is this your biggest fire, Chief?
This is a sizable fire, yes. Forest fire-wise, yes. I've been the chief here since last July. I've been a member for 8 years. I've collectively been in the fire service for 37 years, and
wow,
I must say this was quite a challenging fire.
Wow. Yeah. Now, when I was a kid, White Hills Fire Department had this really cool brush truck.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of woods up there. They had a really cool truck. Like, I always wanted to drive that truck. Oh, it has all that. Man, it looks like it's
old military trucks.
Yeah, it's an old military truck all jacked up with big tires. And were you guys bringing those in to fight the fire?
Well, as a matter of fact, we have one.
Nice.
So,
see that?
Yep.
I want to drive.
So
can we get a ride?
Yeah, come on up. We'll give you a ride.
Now, the brush. Give me a ride. That's smart.
Different.
Don't let me drive it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Guess who broke the brush truck?
Chad.
That truck had a bunch of backpack tanks on it. So you would take these water tanks, put them on, and walk into the fire.
Right.
Limited amount of water. Then you got to walk back and fill up. Were you fighting the fire like that? I would think that the guys have to have oxygen tanks on, right? So how are you getting water to the fire?
So we had we called in our mutual aid partners. We had the state we have a state fire coordinator team come in, and we were able to bring assets and resources in from around our area. So we had tanker trucks, we had a complement of brush trucks, and we did have some people in there with we call it indigenous people tanks. They used to be called Indian tanks, and we go into the water into the woods with them. And they carry 5 gallons of water, and you'd be surprised the amount of fire you could put out with 5 gallons of water. Because what we do is we create a fire line where we effectively rake and blow all of the fuel load, being the leaves, away from the fire, and then we just will darken it down with a little bit of water, and you could create what we call a fire line around the fire.
That's amazing.
And it's night.
How much does pack it with beer? I'm sure that you're not the first person to say, hey, you know what that'd be good for? Beer.
Right. I was just thinking all the pee.
Wow. How much do those weigh?
Well, it's 8 gallons a pound, so that's 40, probably 45 pounds.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Holy crap. You got to be in good shape.
Yes, you do.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. Ready to just fold over like a deck of cards.
Oh, my God. I just carry a chainsaw up a hill, and I'm like, I need a break.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
But, thankfully, I can't thank my surrounding partners, our surrounding partners enough.
Do you have to go? Are you busy?
Is there an emergency?
Is there a fire?
We're a career department. The city department's a career department. We have 8 guys on per shift, and we have neighboring departments, our community partners here. They're all volunteers. And they all came. They all left their jobs, and they were here for the long haul, and we had to call them back yesterday, and without hesitation, they came and helped us again.
That's wild.
Right.
I mean, we don't think about this.
No.
You know, we see a fire truck like, good. Yeah, got a fire truck. But the amount of information you need to know and the amount of stress and work that goes into doing something like that. Think about if we didn't have you guys.
Seriously.
Like, be burning. We'd be losing houses and buildings.
Yeah, a lot of burnt places around
here. Did any animals die in this? And did you, like deer burnt?
We're
pretty smart.
Wildland loss of life. They're resilient. They're smart. They're a lot smarter than us because I think at the beginning of the show, you said everybody runs out. We run in. So they were running out.
Who do you think of the call? him with a deer.
No, but my theory about, you know, where man started eating meat was there was some great forest fire and the cavemen were walking through and they were like, you know, that smells pretty good.
You smell burnt.
Maybe we should, maybe instead of the raw meat,
right?
Maybe we try it this way.
Oh.
Cook it over a, let's cook it over a fire.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to add to the challenge that we had. We had the second fire at about 1-2 o'clock in the morning on the second day. And so we had all of our resources. Now, where this fire is located in our district is far remote from our station. And we had all the resources here, and then we're fighting the fire. And dispatch had called me and said there was a house at 145 Freeman that was getting smoke in their house. So I said, okay, I'll go check this out. It's got to be from the brush fire. So I start driving down the street, and I noticed that I'm getting a little bit further away from the fire, and dispatch kept giving me reports that the smoke's getting thicker in the building. So at that time, our crew, Lieutenant Hyden and his crew from Engine 32, started packing their hose lines up in anticipation that we may have another incident going on. I rounded the corner, and sure enough, there was a structure fire.
Holy crap.
He said, yep.
Yeah, and... And to add to that, we had four people trapped on the second floor, and two children and two adults.
What?
I shouldn't have asked.
Yeah.
You did ask.
I asked. It's my fault.
It's all your fault.
Wow.
No, that was a surprise for you guys. So our crews immediately went to work. We had firefighters go inside. They effectively rescued the four people within minutes, and truthfully, they were within minutes of something horribly bad happening to them. So,
wow.
Good for our people.
Good job.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think beer's this weekend at the firehouse.
Lots of them.
Yeah.
The irony is our assets wouldn't have been this close if it hadn't been for this fire. So
really?
It's amazing. And again, our partners picked up and they came and they assisted us. The city of Middletown came in to assist us. And it took a really bad situation that could have been horrific, and it turned out to have a good end, happy ending.
Man. So
I couldn't be prouder of all of our members.
Well, Chief, sounds like they got the right chief there at the Salt Fire District in Middletown. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate you and all your people. Nice job. Jimmy Coplick, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning.
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 How are things? Things starting to slow down for you?
Yes, they are. As
good.
Far as booking is concerned. Now it's
right.
Covering shows.
Uh-huh.
As far as booking is concerned.
It's always something.
Yep.
Yes, I agree. So you're missing Phil today, huh?
Yes, he's getting married Saturday.
Well, I'm missing. He's not here right now.
He's getting ready.
Has he given up sheep yet? Is it a woman?
It is a woman.
Yes. A very lovely woman.
Yes, right.
Excellent. Good.
We're all like, how did he do that?
Yeah.
I'm thinking payments.
Monthly.
That's my guess.
Monthly. Right. That's how to hold on to them.
Yep.
It's
That's
funny.
What I do.
I see a picture of him when he started here, and he looks like he was, but
yeah.
He just looks so young.
Different person.
Ugh.
Like, who is that?
Yeah.
You know, it happens to all of us.
You're right.
It does.
There was, but when he started here, there was not one hair on his body other than his head.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Got a nice beard now.
It was pre-puberty. If you see a picture of him when he started here.
Yeah, he grew a face.
And a lot of other things,
He grew a face. He did. Yeah.
He also didn't drink coffee early on.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you started that because you get him up so early now.
Yeah.
That's true. I hated coffee from a radio.
His very first day as an intern, he had to pretend he was gay. Not that that's a bad thing.
Just saying.
But it was an April Fool's joke
that
AJ gets caught at a gay club.
Right.
This is back when radio people did April Fool's jokes.
Yeah. In New Haven. And I had to let, I looked like Rob Halford the way I was dressed.
There's a gay club in New Haven. And we're like, oh, this will be the thing that, you know, on April 1st, AJ will come out.
Yes.
And admit it.
Yep.
And it'll be someone caught him and photographed him outside the club with his boyfriend.
I looked like a biker in YMCA. That's Village People.
And I believe it.
And Phil also dressed up, didn't he?
No, he was dressed by him just normal. And I remember we had to hold hands for the photos.
Oh,
and
my
just
God.
Drew's taking pictures. We're holding hands. I'm like, oh, my God, his hands are so clammy.
And from that day forward, he wanted to throw him off the roof.
Yep. I'm like, oh, God.
Can you imagine that being your first day as an intern?
Wow.
Oh my God, I just got a picture of Jimmy. Jimmy looks like a puppy.
Didn't he volunteer? No.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to say. You know, today actually is the 10th anniversary of the Beach Boys' 50th reunion at Mohegan Sun Arena, May 12th. And we were talking about getting young and getting older. And I just sent you a picture of me 42 years ago with the Beach Boys.
Nice.
42?
With Mike Love. 42 years ago, what years. I looked like 42 years ago.
Yep.
That's still Jimmy, though. That looks just like you.
And you'll always be younger than him, too. So
yes, you know it's Jimmy.
But it doesn't look like me anymore, what I used to look like. At least it doesn't look like. That's why I sent it to you, because I thought of Phil getting older, and I said, oh, I got a good picture. I'll show you how it's like getting older.
Now, who's that young child you're holding?
That is my 45-year-old daughter.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Cool.
Well, she's not 45 in the picture.
No. She was three. Right. She was three in the picture. That'd be 45.
It'd be funny if you were holding your 45-year-old daughter.
Right.
That'd be a great picture.
Yeah, right. Like a three-year-old.
I sent it to my grandkids yesterday. I said, look at this little three-year-old that now bosses you around. So they were very...
They're like, yeah, it's a big
deal. Who is that woman...
That's my late wife.
Oh, wow.
That's my late wife, yep. Mm. That's my late wife.
You know, so, I never saw a picture of her.
Yep, that was us in 1980, and just thought of it when you were talking about Phil getting older, and I said, oh, you know what, today's the Beach Boys anniversary of their 50th anniversary show at Mohegan Sun, and I have an old picture of me way back in 1980 with Mike Love, and I thought I'd send it to you.
That's like, cool.
See how old we got?
It's like standing with Paul McCartney, really, the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. They are, to me, the most influential American rock group ever.
Nice.
They really affected
the culture.
Do you mind
if I, can I post that?
Oh, sure.
Okay,
no,
great.
No problem. No problem.
All right, so let's talk about some shows coming to Connecticut that were announced over the week.
Yes, we have a number of shows. They never stop, these shows going on sale. Good packages, I must say. What we call packages is what, you know, when we put shows together. But, the first one I want to mention is Arcade Fire with Beck, which is a great package. That's at Mohegan Sun on November 10th and goes on sale tomorrow. And tickets are on sale. Tickets are pretty reasonable price, so $129.50, $99.50, and $79.50. So,
those are great prices.
Yeah, great prices.
Yep.
And then next week, although we've announced it this week, it's sort of unusual. I don't know why that happened. Smashing Pumpkins and Jane's Addiction together.
That's a great show.
Yeah,
cool. Great package. Great package. And tickets are $99.50 and $79.50.
So great price.
Great prices, yes. Great. And that show is on, when is it? November, October 13th.
Oh, my God. I love Mohegan Sun. Nice. You park. Everything's right there.
Yep.
Restaurant, bar,
place
whatever you need.
Yep.
You don't have to park one place, walk over here, walk over there, walk over here.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
It's all under one roof.
Yep. Very convenient.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And you got a casino if you gamble.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes. Right.
Great hotel. Considered the best hotel in Connecticut myself. And I stayed at most of them because of the concerts and not wanting to drive home at night. So that's my favorite hotel. And you're right. Great restaurants and everything like that. So it's a great place to see a concert.
You must stay in those fancy rooms when you're there.
Sometimes. I don't ask for a suite. They sometimes are kind of give it to me. But, you know, just for myself, the rooms are nice.
Yeah.
I don't need a suite.
I got a suite once.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I wonder what it's like being in a suite. And, wow.
Yeah, it was nice.
I feel rich.
Yeah.
It is nice.
It's like an apartment.
Nice. Yep.
VIP status.
Yeah.
It is like an apartment. You're right. They got nice big living rooms and things like that.
I called room service. I just bring me anything.
Yeah. If you're ever having a special event, like a big anniversary or whatever, get a suite. It's worth the trip. What else was announced this week? Smashing Pumpkins. We got Arcade Fire with Beck.
Right, and then there's a Day to Remember down at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport with two bands I've never heard of, The Ghost Inside and Bad Omens. So,
has anyone heard of them?
I've heard of Ghost Inside, yeah.
I never heard of them, but that's Friday, August 5th.
Cool.
And those tickets are $79.50 and $59.50 and $49.50. So, Everything is good. I never heard a song by A Day to Remember either, so I have no idea.
Well, that must be easy to negotiate.
You have a song called I Can't Forget.
Hey, Jimmy, I want to bring in a ghost inside bad omens.
Never heard of it.
No, I will be at the Mohegan Sun shows. I'm a big fan of Beck. I love Beck, and I do like Jane's Addiction. First time I ever saw moshing was at a Jane's Addiction show.
Wow. Really? Where was that?
That was at the Ritz in New York in 1997.
Oh, wow.
And I'm standing in the balcony looking down, all of a sudden I see all these people smoshing, and I look at my partner and I go, what the heck is going on there?
He goes, right.
It'll hit Connecticut soon. It's in New York. It will start soon, and sure as hell, it's moshing started in Connecticut shortly afterwards.
Was there anyone ever that you could remember hospitalized from a mosh pit in Connecticut?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Sure.
So I've seen bloody people come out, and they felt like, hey, it's a badge of honor.
That was awesome.
Look at my face.
Best time ever. I'm like, you're missing an ear, idiot.
I am so different at a concert. I just want to have a good time.
The nose mission. That was the best time I ever had. You know that? Because their nose ring got stuck and stapled to the back of their head.
That seems stressful.
That was such a wonderful time I had there. Thank you. It was great. I look different.
Johnny Tree.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Jimmy.
Yo.
Good morning.
Hey, question for you. We were going to go to the Blues Travelers last Tuesday, and they got canceled last minute. I guess John Popper came up positive with COVID. Is this going to be like a normal thing this year? Our band's getting like tested beforehand and going to cancel last minute? Journey just got canceled.
Yeah, you know, Journey did the same thing. Yeah, I know. You know, as everybody knows, it's very contagious right now, and I think that you might start seeing it a little more, but supposedly this is only going to last a few more weeks. So, you know, it's difficult. You're right. I think you might see it more and more for the next couple of weeks. It's possible.
And just another side thing. Did you host the Dead show in 81 in the Coliseum today,
sure
41
did.
Years ago? Or?
Sure did.
Awesome. Yep, any stories about it?
I have so many stories about the Dead. I could probably, well, they've written books about stories, and I'm in them, so I should say yes. Good stories.
Awesome
Park Plaza
time,
Hotel is where we had our fun back then. That's
very
sure.
Nice. Well, thanks for everything you do, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Johnny's got home, by the way.
Just got home.
Yeah. Andrew's picking up a phone right now.
Oh, is he? Okay. Hey, phone, how you doing?
We had a question come in over the text. Is Sammy Hagar, George Thorogood sold out?
No, it's got only about 600 tickets left, though. That's it.
Wow.
Okay. So it will sell out, I imagine, before the show happens.
Awesome.
In advance.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Oh, great.
It's going to be a fun night.
He's not doing a meet and greet, right? He normally does, but I think with COVID now, a lot of artists are shying away from that.
I don't know any artist that's doing a meet and greet right now.
Oh.
That's how bad it is.
Yeah, so stay away from me tour.
Yeah.
Don't come near me tour.
I don't blame them.
Yeah, no, I got you.
It's a big deal to cancel a show. I mean, how does that work for you when you hear, you know, band got COVID?
I let out a big curse word.
Nice. Which one is it?
Does that cost you money or is it inconvenient? You know,
It costs money because sometimes they cancel the day of the show. Where you set up all their equipment and they come to the concert and they test backstage and they go, whoop, we're sick. We can't go on. So everything is set up. And unless it's done the next night where you keep all the equipment up, then you got to take it all down and it costs money. So it's a problem. Then you got to refit the show back on the tour somewhere.
You know what you need? Like a little plastic room you just put on stage. With a microphone inside, like AJ in a box, and have the guy just so whoever's testing positive in that box and stay in there.
Mm.
This way they can still do the show, no one else gets infected, everybody's good.
Boy, that sounds like fun.
Thank you. Write it down, Jimmy.
They did do those concerts in the audience with those big plastic hamster balls.
Right.
The humans were inside.
Done.
What concerts was that?
Peter Gabriel's been doing that since like the 80s, right?
When COVID was really bad, the audience members had these big plastic, they were in these big plastic see-through beach balls. I swear, this was a thing.
Was that real life or was that a dream?
No, it was.
We never drug tested her, Jimmy.
She drinks a lot of Fireball.
We never drug tested her.
No, I'm telling you.
I have to pee in a cup right now.
How many people can you fit in a giant ball in an audience?
I think it's one ball per person.
Per person. No, it had to be like five or six.
That's a lot of balls.
Oh, it was the Flaming Lips.
Oh, okay. Well,
All right, then.
And I can't fit too many people in the audience. Right.
Yes, all three people who went to the show.
Bill in Southington. Hold on, Bill. There you are.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Hello.
We got you now.
Yeah, White Snake with the Scorpions. Is there any chance of bringing them in?
Well, the Scorps are coming to Foxwoods, but without White Snake. So we are talking to White Snake and maybe bringing them over to Oakdale.
That'd be cool. Wow.
Yeah. Cool.
Isn't Coverdale all retiring, right, thanks, I think? Guys. Yeah, I think Coverdale's retiring.
Yeah, it's the final White Snake tour.
Yeah, so you gotta, really? Gotta see him, yep. One of the nicest people in the world, by the way.
Yes, you're right.
Yep.
Have you talked to everyone in the world?
Okay, so well, I said one of the nicest. I didn't say the nicest person. Mm. One of the nicest people. One so there's other people out there who are probably just as nice. People. Yeah. Yes.
People.
Right.
People.
Right.
Okay.
Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your question for Jimmy Copley?
Just wake up.
Yeah, hey, Jimmy. First of all, thank you so much for all the concerts, dude. You guys rock. You rock, Jim. Thank you for all
thank
that.
You. Thank you.
Question. Ted Nugent on tour. What's going on? I looked it up, and they're supposed to be going on tour this year. Are you bringing them close to Connecticut or in Connecticut?
I'd love to bring Ted to Connecticut to prove I bring artists that I don't agree with politically, which I do. I don't care about their politics. I care about their music.
Yep.
But he hasn't discussed coming to Connecticut. So if he does, we will bring him into Oakdale. That's the right place.
Nice.
Without a doubt. That's awesome. Jimmy, thank you again. PLR guys, you all you guys rock. You're
thank
awesome.
You.
Thank you, Tim.
You rock as well, sir.
Jimmy, that show in New Haven, Ted Nugent, where they flipped a bus over and all hell broke loose, and Ted was banned from New Haven. That was your show.
Yes. That was the show he wore the
Tarzan outfit?
The Tarzan outfit on stage and literally went across the stage on the rope. It was the weirdest thing.
Like George of the Jungle.
Yeah.
Watch out for that stack!
He was literally a madman.
Yep.
Yeah.
Literally.
Was. Yep.
But he did no drugs, which was very bizarre for a man acting like that normally.
That's right. Naturally, yeah. Right.
He was on drugs.
Right.
And by the way, nice guy.
Mm. Yeah.
Nice guy. Yep. Loved sitting down and talking to Ted.
And smart. If you talk to him about different subjects.
He's very intelligent.
He's very intelligent.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Same with Kid Rock. Same thing.
Yeah.
Extraordinarily intelligent.
The amount of speakers he'd have on stage.
Right.
The giant Marshall stacks.
Right. It'd be like a 4-foot square for him to play in.
He'd climb up on top and jump off. Like, I just don't know how.
How come he doesn't have any hip problems now, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
No, and he's really a nice guy.
Very.
Really, just, I'd love to see him again. I really would.
When did you know at the New Haven Coliseum show hell was starting to break loose? Did you hear it? Did you get a phone call? Did someone come and tell you?
No, I heard it. I heard it. It was bad. It was bad. I've had problems. You know, Coliseum was really a rock house. Judas Priest was a problem there once. Iron Maiden was a problem there once. Ted Nugent was a problem once. People came to rock at the Coliseum.
Yeah.
They behaved much better at the other venues. Somehow, when you got to the Coliseum, people just loved to have extra fun.
It's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, it was very different, the crowd. And the same people, they would just act differently.
What problem did you have with Judas Priest? I don't remember hearing about that.
Was it the seats?
Yeah, the seats, exactly. Oh, the seat cushions. They were using them as Frisbees.
Next time, put a beach ball out there.
And, yeah, throwing them as Frisbees. And I'm trying to get Judas Priest back into Oakdale this fall.
Oakdale, wow.
And I said to the agent, I said, first of all, I voted for them for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so I should have a leg up on getting them, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, I had $50,000 worth of damage once back in, I guess it was the early 80s, when the audience decided that the seat cushions would make great Frisbees.
Oh.
So I had to replace $50,000 worth of seat cushions at the Coliseum. So I said, I think they could come back and...
Yeah.
You owe me.
You called the We Owe Jimmy Tour.
We'll see, right? We'll hopefully get this worked out. But
fingers crossed.
I'm begging. That's part of my begging. That's part of my job.
That works.
Right.
Iron Mike.
Yes. Good morning, guys. Love morning. Jimmy. Love you guys, too.
Thank you.
I was curious why Tool skipped the Mohegan Sun this time.
You know, I really don't have, I don't know if they technically stiffed it, but they certainly didn't ask me to come to Connecticut, which was very disappointing. So, but it's strange. They don't do long tours. They do very short runs, so they don't play every market. That's always been their nature, but I'd love to get to
well, back. Their bass player's exhausted, that's why.
I saw them at the end of 2019 before the world turned upside down for a couple of years, and I was kind of hoping they were going to come back once everything settled out, but they seemed to go right around us.
Wow. What a bunch of tools.
I see what you did there.
Thank you. I was waiting for that one. Right.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.